Okay, as you can see from the slide, that our topic here is accepting or welcoming one another in the same way that Christ accepted us for the glory of God. But what does all that mean? If we look at our lesson series for the summer, we see that, particularly in June, many of the lesson series are taken out of Romans. And in particular, it's Romans 12, verse 1, through many of them through chapter 15, verse 13. And all these things, all those verses in between those two, form an excellent manual for Christian living that Paul has put forth in Romans. Now, I'll call your attention to the three parts in Romans. First, Paul, in the first three verses or three chapters or so, has laid out the condition of mankind. We are depraved in sin and in need of salvation. There is no way out of it on our own. In the middle part of Romans, Paul supplies the solution, which is in Christ Jesus, that Christ went to the cross in love for us to save us from our condition in sin. But then you have to ask the question, well, now what? We were in sin, we were saved, but what should our response be? Well, our response is home improvement. After we've been saved, here we are. Paul gives us this manual for Christian living, and we can take from it and learn from it, implement what Paul's instructions are, and that way we are build up the body, using spiritual gifts, all the instruction that Paul has given us, and we will be a better church. So let's take a look and see what Paul means here. This manual for Christian living helps us to walk and to think like Christians should be thinking and walking. We should be testing everything, Paul says, that we do against the word of Scripture. Paul suggests also in these verses in Romans that we consider carefully everything that we do, that we bring honor and glory to God and in all of our Christian lives. We are to use Christ as the example for all of that. And as we think back to the previous lessons that we had this summer so far, and as you think about this one and lessons to come, you're going to see, and it's going to become very obvious, that there's an interdependence among all of these concepts. But they're all based on Bruce Eberwein's presentation on love. Paul, in chapter 12, verse 9, says, "Let your love be genuine." And he means it. It has to be a genuine love. And you're going to see how that comes out in our expanded definition of the word accept. So beginning with love one another, we've already talked about honoring one another and what that means, and living in harmony with one another, with Charlie Popjoy. And now we're going to learn about how to accept or to welcome one another. These are all interdependent, like I said. When the believer successfully implements these things, that will go a long way toward the home improvement that we expect. And we cannot do it on our own. Just like spiritual gifts, all these things that we're going to talk about and do as we accept and welcome one another comes with the help of the Holy Spirit. So this is what we have faced upon us. So as we look at the scripture that we're looking at here, my key verse was Romans 15, verse 7. But as Paul often does, he builds upon what came before. So if we look at chapter 15, verse 7, he says, okay, well, what's the context? Well, you have to go back to, and that's my key verse on the screen, therefore accept one another. And when Paul shows you the word therefore, what he means is, look back some. So let me read for you Romans 15, 1 through 7. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell upon me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now our key verse, verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, or accept one another as Christ has accepted you for the glory of God. So that's what we have. That's what we have. Now, we have to ask a couple questions. Why might it be difficult for us to accept others? Well, and the second question we might have to ask is, and just who is it that we are called upon to accept? Well, good questions. Let's take the who first. We are called upon to accept believers and non-believers alike, which means that we're called upon to accept one another. If you see somebody sitting in the pew, maybe a couple pews away, or and you haven't spoken to them or you don't know them, it's probably a good idea maybe to get to know them and accept them and welcome them into your lives, not just into the church. If a visitor comes and comes in, like all of us were once, I mean, of course, I guess some of you maybe started in this church, which is a great thing, I think, but everybody came to someplace and was welcomed and accepted. So we're called on to accept believers and non-believers alike. But what makes it difficult sometimes for us to accept or welcome others? People don't look like us, maybe, or whatever it could be. But perhaps the sins of prejudice, legalism, or judgmentalism, or whatever other reason might arise that we may find it difficult to accept or welcome another person. So I've got an example here. And this example, I want to stress, is hypothetical. It's pretty rough, actually. And I hope this never happens. Especially, I hope it never happens here. And knowing this church as I do, I doubt it ever will. Okay, so here's the premise. A person visited a local church one day. Okay? That person was somewhat disheveled, perhaps hadn't bathed in a couple of days or more, did not have on Sunday best. You know what I mean? This person just didn't look like everyone else. But she did come to worship. When the invitation was given at the end of the worship service, she went forward. Came right down in the front and indicated she wanted to be a member. She was met by the pastor, perhaps a deacon, and maybe an elder too. And they listened to her as she told them how she believed in Jesus and wanted to be baptized. Well, the three leaders thought, they're thinking to themselves, well, she's so unkempt. And there's a kind of an aroma that we're getting. What would the members think if, you know, she joined this congregation? That doesn't sound very welcoming and accepting, does it? Well, the pastor then had an idea. He says, why don't you go home and pray about it a little bit? And then we can talk about whether, you know, you be baptized and join the church. So she left. Following week, there she is again. Altar call. She came forward again. And she was met by the same three. She told the preacher, I have prayed about it a lot and still wanted to be baptized. Mm-mm. That didn't work, did it, Pastor? Nope. So they weren't very accepting and welcoming. So again, he said, well, okay. Why don't you go home and pray about it some more, just to be sure? And so she did. Well, the next week came. Guess what happened? She wasn't there. The week after that, she wasn't there. So perhaps a sigh of relief came over the pastor, the deacon, and the elder. Maybe even some of the people in the congregation, too. Well, a few weeks went by. Hadn't seen her again. But a few weeks after that, while out walking around at the local community day, the preacher, the deacon, and the elder were walking together. They saw the woman, and there she was, just walking down. And they were walking towards each other. Made eye contact. Uh-oh. Can't avoid it now. Don't want to think that we're ignoring her again. But so they approached her and said, well, we haven't seen you in church for a while. Is everything all right? What happened? Oh, well, she got all ready and said, broad smile. Pastor, I prayed again just like you said. And I talked with Jesus. And Jesus told me not to worry about becoming a member of your church. He sent me to another church. Yep. So I joined that church. And I'm so happy with my new friends there who accepted me. Uh-oh. Pastor says, he did? Jesus said that? You know, he's a little shocked at this point, probably hopefully embarrassed. And the deacon and the elder were standing there with him. Oh, yes, he said that. Not only that, but Jesus said that even he hasn't been able to get into your church and be accepted and welcomed. And he's been trying for years. That's a problem. So what about us? Do you think that Jesus is accepted and welcomed here at Windsor Baptist Church? Do you think that visitors are accepted and welcomed here at Windsor Baptist Church? Or perhaps other people in the pew are accepted by others in our congregation? Well, I think so. And I'll tell you why. Because back in 1997, when Lynn and I were, well, we had moved in 87. So for 10 years, we still went back to Upland, to our former church. And it came time that the 18 miles became a little too far, and we decided to look for a church closer to home. So we made a list, a short list, and we went and visited the first church. It shall be remained. Shall remain unnamed. I don't want to embarrass them because they may have changed. But Lynn and I went over at the proper time for worship, went into the front door. Somebody probably said, good morning. And we found our own way into the sanctuary. We came in, sat down. No one said anything to us. There were small groups of people, a group over here and group over there. They were talking among themselves, but nobody seemed happy. Nobody was walking around joyously, talking with one another, renewing their friendships. Worship service started. No one spoke to us still. During the worship service, it seemed sad, somber. No one spoke to each other. They would just sat there. After the worship service, no one spoke to us. We got up and made our way out the back door. Somebody said may have said good morning or thanks for coming. And that was it. We went home. We have no idea anybody's name. Didn't have a conversation with anybody. We weren't accepted and we weren't welcomed. Guess what? Like the lady, we didn't go back there. Jesus sent us to another church because we had prayed that Jesus find us a church, please. Well, guess what? Some years ago, probably like 94 or so, there was a men's prayer breakfast that was held for the Baptist churches by the Central Union Association. The Central Union Association welcomed our association where we went in Delaware County. Since I was already here in Westchester, I met the guys from our former church, Upland Baptist Church, which was also a welcoming church. But I met them here. Now, when I got here, and some of you here in the audience here may have been a part of that. It was 1994, 95, 96 time frame, a men's prayer breakfast. And the guys welcomed me when I walked in the door like I was their long-lost friend, had been away for a while. And they welcomed me back. So here I am. And we had our prayer breakfast. We prayed together like we were long friends who had just been away for a while. And they welcomed us back, put their arms around us, and served us food. It was really good. We prayed together and stood around and talked and fellowshipped with one another. And at the end of it, we all went home. Well, that was in the back of my mind. So when the first church visitation that Lynn and I made was an abject failure, and we were able to enter and leave incognito, as if, you know, we could have been in the witness protection program. Nobody knew. It was a great place for that. But I remembered that, and I said, that was Windsor Baptist Church. Where is that? Oh, that's up in Eagle. We looked up the time of the service. Lynn and I decided to come. We came up, and we probably sat right where David is over there. We came in. We were greeted at the door warmly. We were shown to the doors to the sanctuary. Lynn and I came in. We walked around the back of the church. We came up that aisle right over there, sat probably... Now, I guess probably there was a couple, an older couple, sitting where David was. So we would have sat right behind. Well, came in. Do you know who that was? I saw you. Yeah. But some of you might, because they used to sit there all the time. So we sat down. Before I sat, the man in front of us, the couple, stood up, put out his hand. And he says, "Welcome to Windsor Baptist Church. My name is Ner Bishop. And this is my wife, Mary." So, now we know two people. 5 minutes, we know two people. So I'm standing up, shaking Nair's hand. He's not letting go. I'm still shaking his hand. Finally, I got my hand back. But Mary greeted us. We were accepted and we were welcomed. So they asked us if we had any questions about the church. We sat down. So it's still, I'm generally early for things. So we still got 10 minutes left before the worship service. So Nair turns around. And he says to me, "You know, we'd like you to get to know the church a little bit better. Anybody here remember 1997, November? This church used to run a family fun night. Anybody remember those? Gail, I bet you do. In fact, you were probably involved in this one." Well, Nair says to me, Lynn and I, "We're having a covered dish supper tonight and a family fun night. You have to come back and meet more people." I do. Well, Lynn and I have talked over. "Now we can't. Now we really can't do that. Now." "Well, oh no, we insist. And you don't have to bring a dish. There'll be plenty of food. Please come back tonight." No. "Well, you have to. We're going to be at the front door waiting for you. So if you don't come, we'll be really, really disappointed." All right. Well, we came back. Best choice we ever made that day, because we were again accepted and welcomed warmly. We went down to the basement. We were fed. And then we were treated to a whole bunch of fun. And all of a sudden I realized that I'm thinking to myself, these people are goofier than I am. So, and I said, this is my kind of place. So this is what happened, you know, and so that's what accepting and welcoming really, really looks like. And we'll get to that in my expanded definition later on when we get to that point. So here we have two contrasting examples. The woman who visited and was rejected, and the couple who, Ner and Mary Bishop, had no idea who we were. They didn't know if we were believers or not, but they took a chance. And they welcomed us, and they accepted us. And not only did they do that, but they went the next extra mile to invite us to fellowship with them. So that's what welcoming and accepting really looks like. They were warm. It was genuine. They showed their love for us. And if any of you know who Ner and Mary Bishop were, you'll know that this is exactly fits with their character. They were nice people. Amen. So there we have it. So we have this example. So what does Paul's instruction, accept or welcome one another, really, really mean? Would you go to the next slide, please? So how do we put this instruction in practice? They're figuring out. There it is. The top part in the green reads, what does it mean to accept someone in this context? But the key words are down at the bottom in black. The Greek word that is translated as accept or welcome in some versions means to receive kindly or hospitably and to treat with kindness. Well, that's exactly how the old woman wasn't treated in the first example. And that's exactly how we were treated in the second example. And where do we have to go for that? We have to go for the example of Christ. Because didn't Christ accept and welcome to kindly and hospitably, and he treat everyone with kindness? That's what we're called upon to do. That key word, accept, which is the Greek word here, has that meaning. Can I have the next slide, please? Now, if we look further and more in depth at the meaning from the Greek, we find it means to welcome in the broadest sense. Well, in the broadest sense, we have to add some things to the original definition. In the broadest sense is to receive wholeheartedly. There's a nice word in the middle of that, heart, with the heart. To warmly, remember we were welcomed warmly when we came in here, to warmly welcome to yourself, it was personal, to grant admission into your heart, it was a heart thing. Ner and Mary Bishop had a heart connection with Alan Lynn Warren. And it showed. To grant admission into your heart. To look beyond. In other words, they didn't see what we looked like. They looked at the heart. Just as Jesus looks at the heart. Beyond anything superficial. I don't know, maybe Ner probably thought I was an ugly guy. Well, I had hair back then, so I don't know, but not a whole lot more than I do now. But if to look beyond anything superficial, remember the first example of the woman who was a little unshoveled and maybe she didn't have a bath? Well, that's superficial, but what was in her heart? Her heart was with Jesus. So, and then the following thing, the last clause, and be willing to build relationships. The pastor, the deacon, and the elder in the first example were not willing to build a relationship. They wanted to get rid of her as soon as they could. But Ner and Mary Bishop wanted to build a relationship with Lynn and Alan Warren by inviting them to the evening family fun night and coverage's supper, where we were fed and treated to a great time of fun. And we were able to meet some of you. I'm sorry I didn't remember all of you who were there. I remember Joe Cura, though. And I remember a quartet of guys singing in harmony. Long Neck. That's right. Yeah, she's got a better memory than I do. But Kay and Walt Longnecker were there, and we met them then, and that became a friendship that stayed with us. I'm sure some of the rest of you were there. Maybe not so many these days, but the Culkins were there for sure. Yeah. Oh, okay. There you go. So perhaps that Lynn and my presence here, all the way back to the influence of Gail and Bill. You never know what's going to happen. But this whole thing wrapped up together in the way that we welcome and accept others within the body and also those who come to visit here is all important. So we take a look at this all-encompassing definition that's on the screen. All right? It means to welcome somebody that's different from you. It could be somebody within the body or outside the body who is coming to visit. But the key is that we are working from Christ's example. That's the example we must follow so that we may be called upon to accept or welcome someone who at first does not seem acceptable or worthy of welcome. Can we do that? I think so. And this church has demonstrated that it does on a number of occasions. So I'm speaking of accepting or welcoming someone who is not a member of the church also as well. But the context for our lesson includes those who, in this home improvement thing, that we welcome those who are within the body. The Apostle Paul gives additional instructions in Romans chapter 12 through 15:13, and he gives details of exactly what all these things look like when they're folded up and interdependently and entwined with one another. So, but I still think that we do that pretty well here at Windsor Baptist Church. So I urge you to read chapters, especially chapters 12, 14, and the first 17 verses of chapter 15. Of Romans, if you get a chance, because Paul really lays out that stuff, all these concepts in this manual for Christian living. So our job here is home improvement. And we already know the meaning of the term translated as accept. That's the broadest sense right there. But the key phrase for understanding and implementing and practicing Paul's command to accept or welcome one another is the clause, just as Christ accepted you. Would you go back to slide 2, please? So just as Christ accepted, in this case, in this translation, just as Christ accepted us. And then the other clause is to the glory of God. All right. What does that mean? This is the gospel connection, just as Christ accepted us and to the glory of God. How did Christ accept us? What does Scripture say? Anyone? How did Christ accept us? Just as we were. And what were we? Sinners. Exactly. Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, that's the ultimate in acceptance and welcome, to die for another person, even a sinner. It was and still is Jesus' nature to love the unlovable. Isn't that what we should imitate? Remember the woman in the first example? Superficially, she looked like she was unlovable, but perhaps not. They never got to know her. They never accepted her. They never welcomed her. Mary and Mary took a chance on us. Maybe they got to know us. And I don't know, I think we're pretty lovable. You know. But I don't want to pat myself on the back. But But they did. They took a chance on us because they were following Christ's example. They welcomed us to join them in all of Windsor Baptist Church in fellowship that night and the family fun night with the Coverages supper. We were told not to bring food, like I said, and the food that we did have was very, very good. See, these guys still cook well. Christ's example of love and acceptance is able to distinguish who we are in Christ from what we have done. So even in our sin, we are still objects of His love. We are still accepted. Remember, He accepted us while we were still sinners, and He went to the cross and died for us. Remember also, who were friends of Jesus? I mean, we take it right out of Scripture. He was a friend of tax collectors. You know, them. Tax collectors. I mean, who wants to be a friend of a tax collector? But Jesus was a friend of sinners, outcasts, and the unclean, right out of Scripture. That's who he befriended, because he knew that they were in need of a Savior, and that's who he was. So next we read in the passage that the purpose for Paul's command to accept one another is so that we can bring praise to God or bring glory to God. And there are many benefits to that. We show our love for one another within the body of Christ. And we show our honor for one another. We demonstrate that we can live in harmony with one another. And later topics in this summertime Sunday school series of home improvement will add to this list. So we're going to see a lot of things to come in addition to honoring one another, living in harmony with one another, and accepting one another. But they all depend upon loving one another. And that love must be genuine. So as we follow Paul's instruction, more and more the church we ought to be, the world will take notice. Perhaps at the Upper Yukon Township Community Day last week, someone took notice. And they might remember how they were greeted last Saturday. And they might be looking for a new church one day, just like we were. And they might remember that it was Windsor Baptist Church that greeted them and welcomed them and accepted them. And they might come here. We've been praying and asking that God would add to our members. Well, that's the way you do it. You welcome, you take a chance, you accept one another. When people see us, when they interact with us, when they walk into our fellowship, what do they see? They will sense that something is different here. And they may go home thinking, I want what they have. I want to be part of what's going on here. Well, let me tell you, that's exactly what Lynn and I felt when we left here on that first Sunday, and especially after the family fun night. I still think I said, these people are goofier than I am. And that in a nice sense. But so after we visited Windsor, I didn't need to have a list of any more churches to visit. Because Christ sent us here. He sent us over there to the incognito place to let us know what we shouldn't be looking for. And I really hope and pray that other church changed. That they found Christ and they accepted Him in. And the example with the pastor, the deacon, and the elder who tried to get rid of the woman. And I hope they changed too. But that was hypothetical. So. But we didn't need to visit any other churches. Perhaps visitors and other members will go home praising God. Even observing that God is in this place. God is among these people. Christ lives here. It shows. Because Lynn and I saw it. Let's keep up that attitude. Jesus said in John 13, 34 to 35, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This brings us right back to the basis for these home improvement lessons. and the first clause in Romans 12:9. Let your love be genuine. Our love must be genuine. Otherwise, these things here, accepting and honoring and living in harmony, are just talk, just words. The expanded definition tells us about the way, how the heart comes in and how the gospel comes in. Jesus also said in John 17:23, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So the Father loves the Son. The Son came into the world to save us. And He was our example on how we are to live one another. When we have a healthy vertical relationship with God, then and only then is it possible to have healthy horizontal relationships with one another. Whether they're the person sitting in the pew next to you, the other members of the body, or a visitor who might walk in the door. That's the only way that happens. When people know that God loves them because we love them, then they will bring praise to God. And the purpose of Paul's statement here is fulfilled. That brings glory to God. Our duty as well is to praise God. So keep it up. Keep up the good work. Keep up welcoming and accepting people who come in, who sit next to you in the pew, and love them with the genuine love that Christ showed for us. Any thoughts? Questions?